What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically horror movies.
Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it. Alright, so we're going to start this week out by giving you guys a fair warning. It is just Nathan and I. However, you might hear some kids screaming or some dogs barking. We had a family get together at my house and they are all still here. And we wanted to get this podcast out and recorded so you guys could listen to it. Monday at noon. Nate, do you have any movie news for us?
I sure do. This week's movie news. I think we need some kind of like intro like we do with the other ones for that. Top five domestic box office earners as of Friday, November 5th are the same as last week. If you don't remember, Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings came in first. Total gross of $223.2 million since its release on September 3rd. Venom, very good movie. Let There Be Carnage brings Sony Pictures $192.5 million since its October 1st release. Black Widow still in third, holding it down for Disney, bringing in $183.6 million since its July 9th release. F9, your personal favorite, The Fast Saga, with a cool $173 million since June 25th. And then rounding out the top five is A Quiet Place Part 2, with $160 million since its May 28th release. So that is still the running top five for the year box office. I may change it up next week and just do the weekly top five instead of keeping yearly. I don't know. We'll see. Last week, four of the top 10 box office bangers were Walt Disney Studios motion pictures. This week, Cruella dropped out of the top 10 and was bumped by Halloween Kills, which brought in $87.3 million since its October 15th debut.
Wow.
Right, that's what I said. The top 10 worldwide remained the same as well. If you remember last week, I said the only one that was in the top 10 for worldwide was top 5 was F9, The Fast Saga. And then again, it's third worldwide. Or second worldwide. One of the two. Either or, it's the only one in the top 5.
Yeah.
Last week, I mentioned a few upcoming movies to be released in November. For those who do not remember, it was Eternals, Finch, and Red Notice. Just to throw out a couple more to be on the lookout for, Ghostbusters Afterlife hits theaters November 12th. And then I personally was never the biggest Ghostbuster fan, but I might watch that one. However, this one I 100%, and I'm pretty sure you're on board with me, will be watching, and that is Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Mm-hmm.
It's set to be released on November 24th.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I knew it was sometime this month. I didn't realize it was like towards the end. Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to have to do one of the new releases on that one.
I am absolutely 100% down for doing a bonus episode for that. So November 24th, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That, very quickly, is all I've got for this week in movie news. Unless you know something. I'll just briefly mention Antlers. We did do a bonus episode on that. You guys can go back and listen to that. It's not doing too well at the box office.
Yeah, is it?
No, it's not. It's not doing well at all. Halloween Kills somehow is top 10.
It's because Antlers isn't. Halloween's, you know, like, that's an iconic movie. Like, no matter what, people are still going to go and see it because of it being Halloween. People, if you're listening and you haven't, go see Antlers. It was definitely a surprisingly good movie. Like, I didn't know what to expect going into it, and I wasn't disappointed coming out of it, you know.
Just as we said several times, it was slow, but it doesn't always have to be fast-paced, so mm-hmm. Give it a watch. Let them get up above their projected gross or whatever. I think they're under $5 million right now.
So. Yikes.
I mean, to us, that'd be great, but...
Yeah. But not to a moviegoer, or not to the...
production studio and whatnot, yeah. That's all I have for this week in movie news.
That's pretty good.
Man's real, and you found him. And you found him.
Alright. House of a Thousand Corpses is a 2003 American black comedy horror film written, co-scored, and directed by Rob Zombie in his directorial debut. The film stars the late Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Sherry Moon, Zombie, Karen Black, Rainn Wilson, Chris Hardwick, and Tom Towles. It is also the last role for Dennis Fimple, who plays Grandpa Hugo, because he unfortunately passed due to injuries sustained in a car accident in August of 2002 before the release of the film. Damn.
Yeah. Good old Grandpa. Summary on the back of the case. Two young couples take a misguided tour onto the back roads of America in search of a local legend known as Dr. Satan. Lost and stranded, they are set upon by a bizarre family of psychotics. Murder, cannibalism, and satanic rituals are just a few of the 1,000+ horrors that await. This movie just barely was a rating of R for strong, sadistic violence, gore, sexuality, and language with a runtime of 89 minutes.
And nudity. It wasn't in there, but it was...
Oh, yeah, there was.
There was definitely nudity in there.
You want to give them the budget and box office?
So, House of a Thousand Corpses had a budget of $7 million and brought in only $16.8 million at the box office, but it apparently pleased Lionsgate Entertainment because it made back their investment on the film on the first day. And shortly afterwards, approached Zombie about a sequel to the film. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, which would be Devil's Rejects.
Yes, sir.
Was that in your top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I thought. Uh-oh, sounds like the party is happening out there.
Yeah.
But it's all right. Sorry, guys. The location for this movie, House of Thousand Corpses, was filmed primarily on the back lot of Universal Studios Hollywood in Los Angeles, California. Mm. Four Aces Diner was used as Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Mad Men and can be found 5 miles east of Palmdale in the California desert.
Mm.
And then also, I didn't have it in the notes, but the stuff with Dr. Satan's basic underground torture or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that was the basement of a hotel in California, I believe.
No.
I should have put that in the notes, but either or, everything was filmed in California.
Nice.
In 1999, Zombie designed a haunted maze attraction at Universal Studios that was instrumental in reviving the studio's annual Halloween Horror Nights. Have you ever been to Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately haven't, but one point in time. Anyways, the idea for the movie came to Zombie while designing the attraction for the studio, and Universal responded positively to his pitch. Production of the film was completed in 2000, and was set for release through Universal. However, fears of the film receiving an NC-17 rating led to the company's refusal to release the film. Lionsgate, which we know is the ones who ended up producing mm-hmm. it, attempting to venture into new types of films, hoped releasing a horror film would provide more opportunities, so they picked it up. After being cut and edited in an attempt to achieve an R rating, House of a Thousand Corpses finally hit theaters in 2003. So it was done in 2000 and was put on hold for 3 years.
Damn.
Rob Zombie said that there were a lot more violent and disturbing scenes with his wife, Sherry Moon's character. I believe they were dating at the time. They weren't married yet. But Baby Firefly was her name. But they were cut out to get the R rating. Scenes which showed more of Baby Firefly's necrophilia tendencies. The scene in the film where she is kissing a skeleton and touching her breasts with it, with its hand was one such scene, but was much more graphic and longer.
Mm-hmm.
It even pretty much had her masturbating and coming to a climax.
Oh, shit.
But that was cut out.
Too bad.
Right? That's what I said. Most of the cutaway scenes were filmed in Rob Zombie's basement after filming Wrap. He shot the footage himself with a 16mm handheld camera, with the exception of the shot of A Setting Sun, he created the opening credits the same way. So that was all done in his basement, pretty much.
I like that. I like...
Right?
I mean, we'll get to the bands.
Zombie took the brief role as Dr. Wolfenstein's assistant. Did you notice that?
Mm-mm.
For about 2 seconds, and can be seen in the background. And then he's also smashing the pumpkin with a sledgehammer.
True, there it is.
But the hair, yeah, it's actually cameo. Mm-hmm. There's another word for it, or another name for that specific trope, but you're right, it's a trope. I should know the name. But yeah, he was the hairy creature. Like, again, he wasn't really prominent whatsoever, and he was originally going to play Dr. Wolfenstein, but I figured he felt it was... He stood out too much or something, mm-hmm. I think is what it said, so they made him the hairy assistant. But that is all that I have for them facts.
Let's go. Facts, 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 facts. It's time for those opinions that they love so much.
Yes, sir.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a fuck about yours.
All right. Well, since this is my number one top favorite horror movie of all time, I'll start the opinion section off. This is the best movie ever made. That's it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, I do...
Podcast finished.
Yeah. I do hold it in high regard, but that's not where I want to go with it right now. So, but seriously, I love, can't say it enough, love the opening. Like, the static with the zoom followed by the black and white Dr. Wolfenstein's creature feature show was just the perfect way to start this movie and set the tone, in my opinion. Yeah, like, you could think, oh, is this going to be cheesy? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But it will definitely be twisted and violent. That opening, you know it's going to be twisted and violent.
Yeah, that's what he did with it. Like, just Rob Zombie's, like, head going into making this movie and everything, I think, was on the right track. And, like, gave me, like, the Quentin Tarantino vibe, kind of. Like,
yes, absolutely.
But with Rob Zombie's twist and, like... I know you always do research and stuff, but was the music, is that Rob Zombie?
Yes.
Okay, so it is.
And, yeah, when you actually read that part of the facts, he is partial score. He did part of the score.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a part of score. I guess I didn't think I liked Rob Zombie music, but...
No, not all of the music is his.
Yeah.
Is that what you were asking me? Or...
No. Oh, like, okay. But you can tell the Rob Zombie music, and I was just like, maybe it was because of this movie, but it just went with the movie. Like, the music was good, the acting was good, like...
Okay, you bring up the music, so let's pause for a second on the review. It's still Rob Zombie related. We used to... You remember Twisted Metal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was another game after Twisted Metal came out. They tried to replicate it, and it was an alright game, nowhere near Twisted Metal, but... Rogue Trip, I think is what it was called. Not Road, but Rogue Trip. And it had one of Rob Zombie's songs on there.
Yeah.
And that's why I remember the game. I just wanted to bring it up because you talk about him and his music, and I remember that game specifically because I think it's the You're Never Gonna Stop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's... I'm pretty sure it was in Tony Hawk, too. And that might be why...
Yes.
No, it wasn't Tony Hawk. It was Grind.
Grind Session.
It was Day One Songs video game. Grind Session. Yes.
It wasn't a skating game, so if you... Yes. Probably that one.
So that might be, because we played it so much, that song was just overplayed in my head.
Yeah.
But maybe that's where my, you know, my... I wouldn't say, hate for Rob Zombie's music. I just... It wasn't my cup of tea then.
I
went through different music phases. I bet if I listen to his music from then now, I might like it because my music taste has changed so much where I've kind of opened up a little bit.
All right, we got a little off topic.
Sorry,
still
kept
it with Rob Zombie, video games and music, but all right. but the back to that opening, there's also provides a lot of subtle foreshadowing, and just throughout the whole movie.
Yes.
There's a lot of subtle foreshadowing. If you're paying attention, you'll pick up on it. But then they transition into the movie with the commercial from Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Mad Men. It's just a magnificent and so out of this world creative, in my opinion. Just the transition from You got the opening monster thing, Wolfenstein thing, into the commercial for Dr. Spaulding's thing, into, okay, we're starting the movie with Dr. Spaulding.
Yeah.
I just, the way they transitioned into that was just...
It's beautiful.
Yes. And
I did like how they kept the idea of Dr. Wolfenstein throughout the whole movie and everything.
It was cool.
Like that it wasn't like a one and done kind of thing. Like I liked that he kept everything. And it seemed like, I don't know, it was just such a good, like the movie was great, in my opinion. We're in opinion, so I can say that now.
Yeah.
You know, like most movies, whenever we review them, we talk about like the plot and all that stuff. And we sometimes talk about like the transitions and how they film and stuff. But like, I feel like this movie deserves all of the like categories checked and talked about because
absolutely, I'm on board with you.
Because, like, I know you said that Rob Zombie didn't really. He thought it was kind of like a clusterfuck or something. Like, I can't remember what you said, what it was exactly. But it was like he felt that. But I felt like it was like everything made sense.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. Maybe it,
even as a standalone movie, like, he didn't have to make Devil's Rejects or the one after that. But, I completely agree. It all made sense. It all went together. It was chaotic, but in a good kind of way. Mm-hmm. And it all tied in together.
I'd say the only thing I didn't like about the movie was the long pause when he held the gun to the cop's head.
What?
I just.
What?
It was just a little too long of a pause. You know, I'm a hater of certain things, and like that's.
Oh.
It made sense for a little bit, but then it didn't continue zooming out or anything, so it like paused where the camera was and everything, and it was just like.
Oh.
But the climax of it with him actually getting shot because like
that was the payoff. That was why that long drawn. Okay.
I told you this all fair, but he was my least favorite character.
The deputy. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm glad that he got killed.
I think it's how you say his name.
Deputy douche. That's what I'm going to call him.
Okay. Deputy douche.
But yeah.
Well, real quick, I want to circle back since I was talking about the opening. I don't know how you feel about this, but me personally, I could have watched an entire fucking movie with just Captain Spaulding and Stucky, the two in the beginning.
Yes.
They had me fucking rolling when they were talking about their friend or whatever whacks off and then sticks a pencil in his eye socket.
That whole fucking opening sequence was hilarious. Even to the point when he kills him. He's like, one, fuck your mother. Two, fuck your father. Like, I just like talked to
three,
the Brooks.
Especially, fuck you or something like
and he
that.
He said,
yeah.
Fuck your grandma. And then he's like, oh yeah, and fuck you. Bam. But it was just, and like how, what'd you say? What was the other guy's name?
From Stucky.
Stucky. Mm-hmm. How he was like, hey, I recognize you from the hardware store. They call you, the whole thing he says, like, it's just fucking hilarious. And it's just, and let's not mention.
Little Dick Wick, I think.
Yeah, Little Dick Wick. They had a whole rhyme for it. It was great. And the other funny part about it was the guy named Tiny was massive.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot of, because I seen this movie a long time ago. I mean, it's 2021. It's 2021. And the movie came out in 2003. So, it wasn't really, that long ago, but it was, you know what I mean?
It's been a minute. 20 years is a long time.
Yeah.
19
but
years.
There's this stuff from this movie that I forgot about. And, that was one of them. Like, his name's Tiny. I love when they do that kind of stuff. It's, you know, just good.
We're talking about transitions already. That I think that's my favorite part of the movie. Like, I love the plot and I love all of it, obviously. But my favorite part is the transitions, like how Zombie used the negative effect on a lot of the transitions.
Yes.
And the scenes with the 16mm hand shots, especially when they're combined.
Yes. Yeah. He.
It gave it like a. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it gave it like a grimy effect, and I think. That really made this movie. Like,
yeah.
I would have liked it without that, but I think it added so much.
It added so much character to the movie itself.
Especially, like, the sex acts and the bondage and the corpses and all the other shots that he filmed or whatever that weren't necessarily tied into the movie, but he did tie it in with the transitions.
I mean, it kind of gets you feeling twisted, so you can kind of feel the character. Like, I don't know. Like, I felt like I was bonding with the murderers because of all this, you know? Like I was rooting for the murderers in this
movie. I always root for the murderers, let's be honest. Not in real life, just on movies.
I felt bad when they killed Grant, or killed her dad, but I thought him wearing his face...
Oh, God,
and coming down and then kept saying, Daddy, and stuff like that. And then she goes, Daddy. And then all of a sudden he's like, give Daddy some sugar.
That was... I'm telling you, if I didn't know any better, I swear Rob Zombie is our father. Like, my mind and his mind are so similar, and I feel like you're probably on the same. It's like just twisted stuff that we could come up with, and he's able to do it. And thank you so much for doing it, Rob.
Yeah, seriously.
One thing I didn't like was Mary Knowles and Denise Willis, the two girls.
Yes.
More so Mary, to be honest. They're both, like, entitled fucking whiny bitches throughout the whole movie, start to finish.
And
I'm glad they got what was coming to them.
I'm glad you brought those two up, because those two are the ones that I found the least attractive. I mean, like... For, like, their roles just made them annoying as fuck, and it was, you know, it's a trope in itself. Like, please just fucking kill this bitch already. like Mother Firefly, like, she's not, like, sexy, but, like, her role as a sadistic, like, her, like, just her character, like, it just made me not care what she looked like. It was just like, oh, yeah, she's fucking killing it.
I gotcha.
But, yeah, I just...
I thought they were definitely a little bit of eye candy, but I understand where you're coming from. I think the whininess and the entitledness and probably stuff made them a little bit less attractive.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
but at least they weren't like looking like they're out of the 80s.
Yeah,
which technically, this time period would have been I believe the 70s.
Yeah.
So they weren't really wearing 70s style clothes, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's neither here nor there.
Well, yeah, you gotta know it was supposed to be based earlier in the time zone because of the cop car, you know. That's what I was thinking, like, you know, like.
It's all good.
I was just saying, like, hype for like the Dukes of Hazzard and stuff like that.
Talking about the females though, I think you're on board with this. I love Sherry Moon.
Yes.
And she plays the crazy bitch like to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I don't know if you knew this or not, she does not like, or she's been on the record to say she does not like horror movies, because they scare her too much. But she's married to Rob Zombie. What? Okay. She also has zero desire to be an actress and only acted in one non-Rob Zombie movie. But that movie, which was Toby Hopper's, however you say his name, Toolbox Murderers, and she only did that because Rob is friends with him.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, she's only in his movies.
She has, like, that might be why she fit the role so well, because she wasn't, you know, she didn't really care to do it, you know. But, like, her laugh and stuff when she's, like, killing and stuff, like, it's, like, perfect. Like, honestly, people are probably going to fucking hate me for this, because a lot of people are Margot Robbie fans. But Margot Robbie fans, but she could probably play a really good, what's her name? I had it on the tip of my tongue until you asked me.
Well, first of all, who's Margot Robbie?
From The Joker, Harley Quinn. Sherry Moon Zombie.
Yes!
She could play a really good Harley Quinn.
Yes!
Like...
Rob Zombie. Okay. I want you to redo a Batman movie and cast her as Harley Quinn.
Yes.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
What? Never even thought about that.
I'm not against Margot Robbie at all, but I just...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but
I'm not the biggest fan. I'll put it out there.
Watch this movie and listen to her laugh and like her sense of sadisticness and everything, and it's like
it would fit perfectly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God, that's an amazing idea.
I wonder if maybe he had a little inspiration from Harley Quinn. I don't know, but that's or she might have, like, you know. But it just, yeah, that's what I got. The vibe I got from her character.
Well, two things, Mr. Zombie and Miss Zombie. One, please do a remake of Batman and cast Sherry as Harley Quinn. And two, Sherry, let us know if Harley Quinn was any inspiration or not.
Yep.
Hit us up on that. Two Bros in a Review Instagram. While we're talking about Sherry, she doesn't have much of an ass, but even if she did, to me, ass crack showing is never attractive. I could have...
The pant scene, like when she... like
yeah, when she goes in front of him. I mean, I guess they were going for like a slutty hillbilly kind of thing or whatever, but I figured that, I feel like, could be left out. Like if she would have just took her top off or something, that would have been, in my opinion, better, but hey, whatever.
Well, I definitely was like, whoa, what the fuck, kind of thing. But then the scene when they're walking into the liquor store, I was like, oh, okay, now we're talking. You know, like, because she's wearing pretty much, like, assless chaps kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. But just the ass crack showing, like, plumber's crack or whatever, I don't see how anybody would think that's attractive. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess because it just reminds me of a plumber.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think you're right. I think they're going for, like, hillbilly white trashish kind of thing. Yeah. Since I brought it up, what did you think about the liquor store name?
Oh, I forget what it is.
It was like hot pussy liquor.
Oh, okay.
Like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was hilarious.
Again, a creative, like, I don't think that's a real liquor store anywhere.
No, it should be.
It's just a wild, creative fucking name, yeah. But, all right. Hold on, do you have something else to say before I get to the favorite scene? Because I'm about to go ballistic on you a little bit here.
Go for it. I mean, I got a lot of favorites in this movie.
Okay, let's start it off with that. Let's hear your favorite scene, and then I'll give mine, and then you'll understand why I said I'm about to go ballistic.
My favorite scene in the movie is when she kills the girl that's running.
When she chases her in the woods and stabs her.
Yes, and like it licks the blood and stuff.
Stabs, just said her name. What's her name? Denise. Mary. No, what? Denise is Don Willis's daughter. He's the one that shows up. Mm-hmm. So it's Mary. Mary Knowles. Yeah, so Sherry chases her down, stabs her when she's wearing the bunny suit.
Yeah.
That's your favorite scene?
Just because of the way Sherry acted in the movie, in that scene. Like I was saying, like the Harley Quinn-like thing. Okay. Just everything about it was perfect, in my opinion.
All right. Now I'm between two scenes. All right. First one is where Otis is carving up Bill as Baby dances to Brick House.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the transitional kind of scenes. It's got that, like, red tone on it. It's another one shot with a different style cam the rest of the movie, and it has the red tint.
Mm-hmm.
But what sets it off for me is their smiles and Baby, talking about her statistic, just her sheer pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see it on her face and how she's just dancing. The sadistic nature is just incredible. So that's why I like that scene. Besides the gore part's also too. Now, here we go. The second, okay, you'll see why. I'm a globalistic. The second is when it's slow motion. The song I Remember You is playing. I think it's called I Remember You. Otis is shown screaming at Deputy Nash to drop his weapon and get to his knees. As the song fades, the camera pans up and out to a wide shot, showing the scene, including Don Willis laying dead. There's a moment of silence as the camera continues to pull out, and it seems like forever, which is what you were kind of complaining about. But then finally we hear the gun fire, the birds flying away, and we see we see Otis shooting the deputy in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Simply beautiful. I think that long pause was drawn out just the right amount of time, because it left you like, what the fuck's going on? What's about to happen? You're thinking, and it feels like it's forever, but then you hear the gun ricochet, you see it coming, the smoke or whatever, you see him drop, and you hear the birds flying away, the dogs barking, and transition next scene. I think that was amazing. And you...
Don't.
You don't think the long drawn out...
I mean, what you just read sounds completely different than what I watched, because it says as the camera zooms out, there's a long pause, and it's like if they would have just like kept zooming out or like started zoomed in more and made it all the way to that point where they got it.
You wanted constant movement,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Like it made me almost think that
The movie froze.
Like, I was trying to think of how to not say what I watched it on, because we don't get sponsorship from them. So, but yeah, that felt like the movie froze for a second, and I even like looked over at Brittany, like, and I, like, looked back, I was like, no, I think it is supposed to be a pause like this, and then it was like, pop, I was like, all right, good, he did, and he's dead.
The satisfaction of when it finally happens.
Yeah, so
I love that, the whole drawn out part of it, and I love that scene because of that, but I'm between the two, I don't know which one's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those two, I think you're going to go with the first one that I said, where she's dancing and he's
just for everything or not. I mean, there's so many good stuff about this movie. Like, okay, so it's not like my favorite scene, but something that I laughed and I thought was funny was when the two sheriffs go to Spalding to talk to him, and they just continue to ring the bell, and he's like, "I'm gonna come out there and rip your fucking nuts off." And he opens the blinds and see the cops, and he's literally wearing a shirt that says "Pigs."
Yes,
pigs is beautiful. And I was just like, "This is fucking amazing." And then like
Spalding shirts, like I've got. You talk about that one, but I've got another one.
Yeah, that, but it just that made me laugh like really good, and I was just thinking like, dude, just. Go ahead and tell him what happened. And I'm like, you know what? That's not Spalding. Spalding, like, he hates fucking cops. So, but yeah, I thought it was pretty good. He goes, "You think you're going to draw me that map?" He's like, "Well, I think I could, officer."
Okay, we're kind of talking about lines here. So, favorite line out of everything. Is there a favorite line that you can remember?
Oh, shit.
No, there's a lot of good ones. This movie is... Again, transitions amazing, gore amazing, lines, band. This is the dialogue in this movie is something.
Mm-hmm. It is top notch here.
All right, well here I'll give you mine. Well, first, to the shirt. Okay, it's not spoken dialogue, but Captain Spaulding's shirt at one point reads, "If I wanted to listen to an asshole, I'd fart." That's just funny. I'm sorry, that one's funny. But my favorite spoken line, however, is the one we use for the fact segment.
Oh, yeah.
It's Otis. Mm-hmm. He says, "It's all true. The boogeyman is real and you found him."
Mm-hmm.
That.
I love it because, like, he's like, "And you found him." And then, like, the song was like, dun, 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 dun. Like, it makes you, like, I feel like in the movie theaters, that might have actually had your heart skipping to that beat, like, dun, 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 you know, like, it was cool. But you're talking about shirts. What about Tiny's shirt that says,
cheap-ass Halloween costume, yeah.
Cheap-ass Halloween costume. I was just like, I love the fact that he's wearing it.
Right?
Tiny, like, had like, a piece of my heart on this movie, like.
Low-key, your favorite character?
Like, he just did funny shit, like, and you don't, like, it was subtle things that you don't really notice. Like, he tries to give the girl cereal, and she says no. And he's and like, in my head, he's like, "Oh, fine, fuck you then." And he just, like, gobbles it up.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Let me go." And he unties her, and he just waves to her. And then, like, is it Otis?
Yeah, Otis comes down there.
Otis comes down, and he goes, "What the fuck?" And he just, like, holds his hand out. Shoulders. Like, huh?
Yeah.
I just thought it was fucking hilarious. Like, I didn't, that was one thing I didn't understand, was what the fuck was in the cage with him? Was it the things that are underground? When she threw her in the cage?
Threw her in the cage.
Right at that point when she's trying to leave the basement and he throws her in that cage.
And she's when they attack or whatever, attack her. I guess it's the things
creatures that only come out to
the house with 1,000 corpses. Yeah.
that shit was wild.
So did you come to a conclusion what your favorite line is then? Or are you agreeing with me
The, like, I'd probably say it, like, that's probably the most iconic line from that movie. I mean, all of Otis's speeches were fucking hilarious. Like, we're good, you know, like.
Inspired by Charles Manson. Yes. In case you didn't know that.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, that could kind of happen to us, because we could, like, not write a book, but, like, try to go across the country and film all these kind of places like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and
it'd end up in the Firefly's house.
Yeah. She is. She was trying to fuck him before she killed him, so. And then fuck him after, I guess.
Certainly, yes.
She's a necrophiliac.
What else you got? I mean, I've got the kill count and some continuity errors, but there's, like, I love this movie. I love this movie. I can watch it again right now and probably find something new that I love more.
I love the fact that you, like, the facts that you found about it, but, like, the basement scene, like, with the creatures and stuff,
uh-huh.
I love that whole spice of life. I think they can do a spinoff of just that part.
You mean when they lower the coffin down in the ground, yeah. And Dr. Satan's lair or whatever it is, okay.
They could do a spinoff movie of just stuff about Dr. Satan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think it, like, as long as Rob Zombie did it, I think it would be a good movie.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
It was changed to Doctor. That's another thing. I can't remember what they were calling him before. And it was originally going to be the Grandpa was the character.
Oh.
But Zombie, I believe, didn't feel that it was climatic enough or something. So he changed her or whatever. That's another little fact for you. I didn't mention it. He knew the ending was shit. He did it intentionally because he didn't have enough money, in his opinion, to film a better, more cinematic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he presented it with a shit ending, knowing that the production company, which at that time was still the first one, Universal, and they kicked it back and said the ending's terrible, and he's like, well, I need more money. They gave him more money.
Mm.
So he went balls to the walls with the ending that we got. So just want to throw that out there. It did have a shit ending at one point in time. I don't feel that this ending was shit at all.
No, I thought this was exactly what you needed.
What's going on underground and with Dr. Satan? Who the fuck knows? Like you said, there could be a whole spinoff of just that.
Mm-hmm. And I love the ending part where, like, you think, oh, last girl, you know, the final girl.
Final girl, yeah. You're like, trope, there it is. Oh, shit.
Nope. Yeah, hook, line, and sinker. There's your trope for, you know, what is it? What's it called?
Sequel hook.
Yeah, sequel hook. Like, the whole time you think Captain Spaulding's actually, you know, not part of it.
Yeah.
Because they even said, oh, that guy, fuck him. You know, they were talking
shit. Otis was talking shit about him. Yeah.
And then he ends up in his backseat, like, gotta love it, man. That. Well written, well, you know,
produced,
done,
well directed, well scored.
$7 million, ain't like
we are some fans of Rob Zombie because we, like, sucked his dick all through Halloween, and now we're doing it again. I don't understand why, when it first came out, people didn't dig it, but I know when I first saw it, I did, and my opinion hasn't changed.
Has it become a cult classic yet?
Oh, it's definitely. It's
I was gonna say a
big cult classic. I don't know if we talked about it already or if mentioned it off air, but Rob doesn't agree with it. He thinks it was a mess or whatever. I don't understand why. It's a perfect combination of just chaotic.
Well,
if
you were to Google House of a Thousand Corpses. 83% people like this movie on Google.
83%.
6.1 out of 10 people like this movie. It's pretty good.
I'm one of those. Yeah. I think you're definitely one of those.
Yeah.
It's Rob Zombie can do no wrong.
Yeah.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm convinced Rob Zombie could do no wrong. He can remake every horror movie. He can make new horror movies. I'm there. I'm watching. I'm supporting. Rob, please continue doing it. And you mentioned Quentin Tarantino earlier. Oh my God. Can you imagine a collab between Rob Zombie and Quentin Tarantino?
That'd be completely fucked. Jeez. They could even do a Western and I bet we'd like it.
Yes, but 100% would.
Oh, shit.
You want me to get to the kill count then?
Yeah.
All right. Take a guess how many deaths that were total in this movie.
1,000.
Nah, I like it. There was 1,000 deaths.
No. It's,
no.
7.
Ooh, that is an interesting guess. There were 15.
15.
7. Which?
Oh shit! I forgot about the. Okay, yeah.
7 which are off-screen or assumed to be dead. So if you take away the 7 that are off-screen or that are assumed to be dead, then your number's pretty close. But we'll read them off here. And if you think that they weren't dead, then then pipe up, okay? Little Dick Wick and Killer Carl. There's two right there. They were shot in the head by Captain Spaulding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one was bashed by the other. What was the other dude's name?
They never...
The big dude.
Yeah, they never said his name.
Okay, yeah. The big dude, big clown looking... Well, he wasn't clown, but...
He was wearing a clown mask.
Was he wearing... Yeah, the oversized clown mask. Okay.
Yeah.
He bashed his head in, and then Captain Spaulding. Okay, so there's two. Three cheerleaders are seen on the bed. So those are three that are killed off screen. The only thing that I am not sure of, how many cheerleaders were there total? Do you remember?
I think it was five. Because that's something that they kept. It was a foreshadowing thing before they even got to
the news reporter or whatever.
Yeah, they kept saying five cheerleaders have gone missing. Like, they only played the same exact recording every time. Like, okay. It was just like they went missing right after doing something, and it was like cut.
The reason I ask how many, because one, I couldn't remember, but I swear at some point in time I saw cheerleaders alive. Weren't they alive at some point in time, or were they dead the whole time?
No, they were alive. There was... So Otis had three in his room.
And they were dead. Weren't they sitting there? He was talking to them. Yeah. So they were still alive.
They were still alive. And then Baby had two. One was dead, and the other one was alive, because she goes, B-A-B-Y. Okay.
Let me... Yeah, you're right.
So I'm assuming it's five.
Let me continue with this, and we'll circle back to it. Because I've got three cheerleaders seen dead on the bed. So we're up to five now. Karen Murphy, they named that specific cheerleader. She was the one that was found in the trunk.
Oh, yeah.
So that there's six kill off screen. That would be four cheerleaders. Then there's the cheerleader found in the shack when the deputy opened it. There was one tied up or whatever. Was she dead?
Yes.
She was. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're certain that that one was dead. So then that's five. Unless that's the same cheerleader as one of the ones previously. But yeah. I didn't look enough to know. Bill, who's turned into Fish Boy, he's technically killed off screen. Because we see him in that trailer, my favorite part that I was talking about. But then the next scene we see he is dead and he is now Fish Boy.
Yeah, which was fucking hilarious.
Right?
Sure. He's inspired me to do some of my best work.
Yeah, he was hyped on Bill, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Sheriff Wydell, he was shot through the neck by Mother Firefly. Don Willis, shot through the back by Otis. Deputy Nash, shot in the head by Otis. Mary Knowles was stabbed by Baby. Jerry Goldsmith was tortured by Dr. Satan. So that's the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we see him being tortured. So we are assuming that he's dead.
Yeah.
But we don't ever actually see him die. Earl Firefly, that's the guy, Baby's, or Tiny's father. He's the one that gets crushed when Denise is trying to get away. He swings the axe, misses her, and brings everything down on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's Earl Firefly. So he's crushed under rubble. Again, never shows him dead, but we can kind of assume...
No, he's not dead, because when at the very end, when they show her inside of Dr. Satan's lair, he's standing there.
The same guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So I couldn't remember if he made an appearance in another one anyways. So, okay, so we'll take that one off. So now we're at 14. And then Denise Willis, she's tortured by Dr. Satan. She's the one that gets captured at the end. Again, we don't see her die, but we're assuming that she's going to die. So that's 14 total then, because we're going to knock off Earl.
Yeah. I strongly think I want to stick with there was five cheerleaders total.
Okay, let's see. I had three, Karen. Yeah, so that's five.
Okay, yeah.
So but I just, what I was saying was I didn't know which one of those were actually dead or if they... Wait, I know the Karen was because that was the one with the drunk.
Yes, and then the one... When she did the B-A-B-Y thing, the other girl was dead in the bed already.
Okay.
But that's what I'm assuming. Otis had three and Baby had two. Okay. And then Baby was
one of them ended up in the shack.
Yes.
Okay. More than likely, we can agree, more than likely, all of the cheerleaders were dead.
Yes.
Okay.
It's safe to assume.
Yeah. So then, the only one, like I said, to get rid of is Earl.
Yep.
So we're 14 House of 1,000 Corpses. The Firefly family killed 14 motherfuckers. For the next episode, I'll have a reminder kill count so we can say who's leading so far.
All right.
I feel like Michael might still have the lead. I can't remember how many he had. I mean, technically, we've reviewed two Michael Myers movies, so the combination of both movies. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
And then I gotta bring some negativity, even though I love this movie. These get passes anyways to me. But it is our job to review the movie, which includes a little bit of negativity sometimes. So continuity errors, my least favorite part of the show. Or least favorite part of the podcast, I should say. After Baby Firefly mutilates and scalps Jerry, he is later seen in the film with his face still intact and without damage. After sustaining that type of injury inflicted upon him by Baby, realistically, his face, at the very least, would have been, like, swollen, heavily bruised, and full of broken capillaries.
Yeah.
So, that would have been a sweet-ass scene, too, if she would have, literally peeled his face off right there.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it happened, so. And then the other one I want to bring up is when Mother Firefly pulls the pistol on Lieutenant Wydell, the revolver seems very large, and the hammer was cocked back. When she fires, the hammer is already down and does not drop. The gun also appears to be a different, smaller weapon when the scene cuts to Wydell being struck and killed. However, in addition to that, this is the only part that I do kind of have issue with. Blood spurts out of the opposite side of his head. The side she shoots him in, however, is completely clean.
Yeah.
Gory movie. Get the gore right. Come on! But that's all I have for continuity errors.
Not bad.
I mean, there might have been some other ones, but again, they get passes because this movie is so great.
Yeah, it was fucking well done. Do you want to get to the tropes, or do you have anything else for opinions?
I'm ready to move on if you are.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm sure there's more stuff I could bring up. It's just, you know, like...
Well, if you think of it, it's our podcast. Interrupt me and bring it up.
Yeah.
But for now, trope,
there it is.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex.
All right, first one I got for you guys today, bloody hilarious. Blood as an indicator of injury and mortality is something you don't want to see, unless the scene plays out in such a way that the gore becomes the joke, turning the gruesome display into hilarity. When that is the case, you can holler,
trope, there it is.
In House of a Thousand Corpses opening scene after the Dr. Wolfenstein's Creature Feature Show plays, there is a botched robbery that takes the cake for this trope, and true to its name, it's bloody hilarious.
Yeah.
Secondly, I've got clueless deputy. Sheriffs and marshals often have deputies to assist them. In order to explain how this person isn't the sheriff or marshal, the writers will often use a trope and make the character clueless. Deputy Nash, your least favorite character, is a hothead and clueless, so it's a double whammy. Otis is able to make him drop his gun just by yelling at him. Now Deputy Nash is dead.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely clueless. Hope Spot. All right. I don't know if I brought this up in season one or not, but I'm bringing it up now. The character is about to face utter defeat. Suddenly, he finds a glimmer of hope. That's the Hope Spot. But wait! It wouldn't be a trope if it didn't have a twist. Or how you would say it, but wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
The bad guy crushes all hope. We are led to believe that Wydell, Deputy Nash, and Dennis's father, Don, are going to save the tourists when they show up at the Firefly's home. We couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah.
That's the hope spot.
Yeah. Especially because they didn't give it away. They didn't say, like, you kill him and I'll kill whoever's in the back. He was just like, I'll take care of them in the back, like I always do. Like get rid of them, like make them leave, kind of thing, is what you assume. But, and you get hope when they open it up and, like, you see the girl there, you're like, oh shit, they're gonna rescue her, and then it's like, nope.
That's the hope spot. So whenever there's a little bit of hope, and then suddenly it's gone.
When there's hope, and When there's hope and then there's nope.
There you go. That's what it should be called.
When there's hope and then there's nope, you can always yell.
Trope.
Nope, there it is.
Oh, Lord. All right. Next one, an arm and a leg. Essentially, limb loss as a dramatic device. We've had this. I think I actually brought it up on Saul. It happens in one of three ways. Self-amputation, like we saw in Saul. Mm-hmm. An accident, or it's deliberate. In House of a Thousand Corpses, the trope is certainly deliberate. Otis and Baby cut off one of Bill's hands before killing him and eventually turning him into Fish Boy. So that's known as an arm and a leg. Either it's accidental, deliberate, or self-wound. Okay. And then lastly, the fifth trope of the week for House of a Thousand Corpses, danger takes a back seat. We've had this trope come up a few times in season one. It is a horror trope staple, just like Final Girl. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it earlier, and I said it's just a big trope in itself happening right there when we were talking about it. Because first you mentioned Final Girl, ended up not being Final Girl. Yeah. But when a character gets into a vehicle, knowing that there's danger near, but doesn't check the fucking back seat, we as an audience know that there's something or someone back there, right?
Yeah.
Of course there is. In the final scene of the movie, when Denise thinks that she's escaped and gets into Captain Spaulding's Cadillac, she has no reason to check the back seat, right?
Guess not.
Wrong. Good old Otis pops up. Danger takes a back seat. People, in real life and in horror movies, check the back fucking seat.
Yeah, please. Shit, I check the back seat every time if I'm driving at night. I don't know why. Like, I mean, I guess because I don't want to die.
That's right. Danger takes the back seat. It's a trope of life. But that's all I've got for the tropes this week. Give them 5 like I promised I'd do.
Well, you gave them 5 in the trope section. We talked about tropes. We were talking, kind of off subject, but since we're still in the trope section, I want to talk about it. We had everybody over earlier, and we were talking about Fast and the Furious. And Tim brought up, he said, you ever notice they never stop for gas? And I said, yeah, that's a trope. And then and Nate did not hear us talking about it, and I walked over and I said, hey, what's it called whenever they're in a movie and they never stop for gas? And he just goes, trope. And Tim just, looked and was like, damn. It was just so funny because it's a year and a half ago, I would not have known what that meant. I just would have been like, yeah, it's movie.
Now you see them all over. I mean, it's not just movies. It's books have tropes. TV shows have tropes. The media in general, there's tropes. I mean.
Yeah. Which is funny because, the reason we were even talking about that is because yesterday, the first Fast and Furious movie came on and I watched it.
Oh, yeah?
Because I like the beginning ones, but just do me a favor and watch that.
And what, the first one?
Yeah, and then watch the acting from Ludacris and Paul Walker. Like, the very first, encounter they have together.
Uh-huh.
It's, the cheesiest scene. It was, it looked like they were uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
But,
I'll have to check it out.
We're on tropes, so I had to talk about the tropes and then explain, where it evolved from, so... Just wanted to make sure I got all that out for you.
We're not doing a review on Fast and Furious, not this season, guys.
Nope.
But I will still check it out to see what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
All right. If anybody else listening wants to point out a trope, please point it out to us. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, man, you guys didn't mention this one. I want to. Well, I'm only giving 5. There's plenty of tropes in this. Mm-hmm. So just let us know. And where can they let us know? Wait, go ahead and plug it, but then we are forgetting a very important thing.
Yeah. Two Bros and Review on Instagram. They can, hit us up. We have officially 105 followers.
105.
Mm-hmm. So it's starting to get some momentum going.
A little bit.
We would like more. Obviously, everybody wants followers, but... we just wanted some interaction, really. Yes. We got to 100. We got to last season's goal.
We got this season, hot sauce tasting out of the way.
Yes. This season, my goal for our podcast is to get more fan interaction.
Yes, I'm with you. Let's a lot more fan interaction. Like, but to get fan interaction, they probably need to know what we think of the movie overall. Give it our five knives rating.
It's no secret that we like the movie.
Really? You think?
Characters playing their roles, giving it a point for that.
Okay.
Go back to season one, breast best rating. There was some really nice breasts in this movie, so it gets two.
Okay.
Corey and
okay.
Tommy, you guys appreciate that, right? Blood and gore, it gets a point for me from there.
A full point.
Yes, okay. A full point because it's so blood, gore, and cinematography.
You're putting it all together.
Yes, it gets a full point. And then plot. I mean, I know that's like what I already said, but I just feel like I got more out of this movie than I think Rob Zombie did. I thought it hit the nail on the head. It was just everything was explained. It didn't leave me with too much thinking. Like what about this? What about that kind of thing? So the transitions, I can go on and on.
Yeah.
So out of a one through 10 or a 1 through 5?
1 through 5.
I was going to say. Yeah. So
which I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, give yours.
So what's that? That puts me at 4 right now, right?
I'll be honest, I lost track. I was just listening to you.
Okay. Well, I'm giving it a 5.
Five.
I plan on giving it a 5 as soon as the movie was done.
Yep.
It just, from beginning to end, there was nothing there wasn't a time where I was where I thought, damn, I need something to drink. I didn't even have a drink, and I, didn't, there's movies where you're just let me check my phone, or let me go get a drink, or something like that. There wasn't a point in this movie where I got bored. It was just from the opening credits to the end credits, even the song in the end credits.
Yeah.
It was just phenomenal. So Rob Zombie and I think it was Scott Humphrey were the people that did the music in this movie.
Okay.
So he did good. So I'm giving it a 5.
Giving it a 5. Okay.
For I love it.
Okay.
5 bloody knives.
5. Okay.
Yes. 5 knives thrown at a body stuck to the wall. Bloody.
All right, so here's my question before I give my rating. A week or two ago, one of the podcasts recently, we said how we're doing the points, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it on air. Like you said, if it's beyond exceptional, basically, we would give it 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, if we don't like it at all, we give it 0. If we think it's so bad, we take away points, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're sticking with that. My question is, can I break the Richter scale and end up giving it more than a 5? Or do we have to keep it to a 5 and under?
I would say until we get the exact point system dialed in, we should definitely talk about that off air.
Okay.
I think we should give it a 5. And then maybe when we do our next week's podcast, we do our top 10 favorite, whatever we choose.
Yeah.
We go back to the 4 movies that we reviewed and redo our ratings with the point system.
Okay.
With the official point system.
Okay. We can just keep it at 5.
Okay.
All right. I don't want to make things any more complicated, so we'll just, no breaking of the Richter scale. We're going to say it right now. We can't exceed 5. I can say I give it 100.
Yeah.
But my vote only counts as 5. We agree with that. Okay, yeah. That's we'll stick with that, guys. Sorry, we should have probably did that off air, but this is what you get. Speaking of, we didn't record this. Man, we're messing up. We were supposed to record this for the YouTube channel. Whoops. We'll get on that, guys. I promise.
Sorry, guys.
But anyways, back to my 5 knives rating. Okay. I'm going to give it a 1 for dialogue. I'm going to actually give it more, but because I'm trying to keep it to 5, I'm only giving it a 1. Guess what, guys? I'm going to give it a fucking 5, but I'm still breaking it down. 1 for dialogue. 1 for gore. I'm not going to split it up because I believe the transitions alone deserve a 1.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give gore 1, transitions 1, dialogue 1. Acting and the characters fitting the role, another 1. Music, And we'll go with music because I forget the other word that I want to put. I'm gonna give a one as well. I think the music was perfectly used. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to that scene where Brick House, mm-hmm. I don't think any other song would have worked there like mm-hmm. Brick House did, especially with the way she was moving and swaying. Maybe I'm wrong, but that, I think, was a perfect choice. Chef's kiss, 5 bloody fucking knives dripping with blood. Meanwhile, I've got at least another 5 in my back pocket that I want to throw. Mm-hmm. That's a total of... Everybody can do math. 5 plus 5 is 10. 10 for House of 1,000 Corpses. So your number one of the top horror movies of all time was a Rob Zombie. Halloween, we gave it a 10. My number one for top, we didn't discuss this beforehand, people. This is just happening right now. The review that we did for Halloween was just happening right then. I didn't know what he was going to give it.
Yeah.
But... both of us agree that Rob Zombie is the motherfucking man when it comes to horror movies. Mm-hmm. So, Rob, please, please keep doing it.
Yeah.
And quit doubting yourself. Yeah. If you doubt this, that means there's something better? What?
Yeah. I get, well, so, I did think about it. Very good. I was thinking about it, like, to explain more of why I think she could be Harley Quinn, just from what you said about, like, that the Brick House song. That is a Harley Quinn mannerism. Like, you know, like dancing and being all twisted and shit to like a fun, like a song that people probably like made children to. You know, and
meanwhile, he's cutting motherfuckers up.
Watch exactly. Yeah. Like, that's why, I just wanted to make sure I clarify that. Like, it's just.
Oh, I'm with you.
I didn't think about it until we started doing the review either. So it wasn't like I thought about that and was like, I need to talk about that in the review. It was just like, the more we talked about it, the more I thought about how she was acting. Everybody that's listened to our podcast, you can tell, like, I am horrible with people's names. I cannot believe I remember Margot Robbie's name. Like, I was just like...
Yeah, I'm impressed myself.
But, I mean, Margot Robbie did an excellent job with Harley Quinn. But I think if Rob Zombie was able to do a Batman movie... Hint, hint.
Yes. I agree.
I think he should, if he had to, because that's his thing, he uses her in his movies, I think she should play Harley Quinn.
Okay. So, this is not House of 1,000 Corpses related, but it's still movie related, and it's still kind of talking about what you're talking about. Okay, Margot Robbie played Harley Quinn. Who played the Joker that everybody shit on?
I don't remember.
Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought his rendition was a good rendition. Not my favorite, but I thought I thought it was good. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I wanted to bring up was another movie that's coming out, I think, in January. Whether we do a bonus episode or not, I'm 100% going to go see this because it is Morbius, and Morbius is played by Jared Leto. Just saw the trailer the other day. It looks fucking magnificent. If you don't know what Morbius is, it's a Spider-Man villain. He's basically like a vampire-like creature.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like Jared Leto was the right casting for this. I can't say that until I watch the whole movie, but just the trailer alone. But you're bringing up Batman, Harley Quinn, yeah. Margot Robbie, so kind of tied it all in there, the big bow.
Yeah, there's so many things that Rob Zombie could do. Like,
back to Rob, let's do it.
Oh, man. It's like nothing against anybody else that's ever made a movie. But I just love the way Rob Zombie puts his twist on movies. So I think a Batman movie with Rob Zombie's...
Oh, God, yes!
That might bring people back to the DC side of things. Marvel's taken over. But I think...
I don't think that DC's ever been in the lead. But...
Yeah, exactly, that's just what I'm saying. But...
Batman had his time.
Yeah. No, there is people that think that Batman's better than... You know, the DC is better than Marvel. I'm not going to start that can of worms. That can of worms is going to be a long time from now. But
maybe we'll do a whole season of DC versus Marvel. Who knows?
Yeah.
Let us know on Instagram if you think that would be a good idea, though. For season 3, maybe.
Yeah, you could stay after the credits and let us know.
Well played.
Two Bros in Review on Instagram, Two Brothers in Review on Apple Podcasts as your purple device. You can listen to us every Monday at noon. That's season two's new day and same time, new day.
Monday, noon, Eastern.
Yep, Eastern. Can't stress that enough. You can listen to it at any point on noon on Tuesday. So it don't matter, Eastern, Pacific, British, whatever you want to call it. Just every Monday at noon, our podcast goes live. You can listen to it on Spotify, Anchor FM, Anchor.fm, the Apple Podcast, like I said. You know, the purple icon, get on there, Two Brothers in Review, search us, give us 5 stars and tell us what you thought about the review and what you didn't like about it, whatever. Just communicate with us. Let us know. That's really all that I have for as far as like telling you, like, you know, what you can do for us. Yes, call to action. Free things you can do.
I was just sitting back and letting you roll, man. Yeah. You just spit out all of that stuff. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's to a point where they know we're coming. This part's coming up. And I guarantee you guys, if you are long-time listeners, we love you. New-time listeners, we love you. You know what's coming next.
That's right. Next is the TRG, Those Random Guys Network. TRG Network, Those Random Guys. Those are our brothers and brother from another mother.
Killing it.
Corey and Tommy down there in Florida putting out a podcast on YouTube every Tuesday. I think they're doing Monday as well with some gaming, Saturday gaming. They got their YouTube shorts going. You can listen to them on the listening platforms as well. I like to personally see their two goofy yet beautiful faces sitting across from each other, next to each other, whatever you want to call it, talking about whatever's on their fucking mind. Mm-hmm. And it is entertaining, I'm telling you.
Dude, speaking of Two Brothers in Review, I was at the hotel last night, toilet was clogged, and I was talking to somebody from Daniel's wedding, one of his groomsmen, and I told him, I said, well, you know, if they don't find me a plunger, I'm just going to start taking a shit in the shower, and I'm going to start waffle stomping it down into the drain. Groomsman did not miss a beat. He goes, why aren't you doing that already?
Oh, God.
Thought about Corey immediately and was like, I know Corey's going to love that part, so I had to make sure I let Corey know about it. Like, it's... shitty situation.
I didn't know where you're going with that because you miscorrect. You said Two Brothers in Review.
Oh, TRG Network.
I've done it before though, so it's okay. TRG Network, Those Random Guys. Look them up, subscribe, follow, like their videos. You know the deal.
Ring that bell.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, you guys got a little, you know, you got a little live video from us. You got some music. You got movie reviews.
Record shit. Drops next month.
Yeah, shit. Merch drops soon. What's up? No, yeah. on top of TRG Network, you know, they support us. We support them. You know, it's a great mutual podcast relationship, I guess you can call it. You can go on YouTube and you can search KW Snow. There's something that has been going on lately. If you don't snowboard or, you know, ski or anything, you don't know about it. But so all these resorts that I go to, yeah, it's November 5th, right? They're all firing up their snow machines. They're like taking pictures and it's making me like want to fucking snowboard. They're just testing them, but it's just like, it's amazing because I just know that it's around the corner and I can start making some snowboarding videos.
If you guys could see this man's face right now, there is just sheer joy. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
So
check out his YouTube.
Yeah. KW Snow. Kyle Webb Snow. Just my initials, Snow. That's all I can say. It's gonna be you know, once a week, maybe more. Might could do some live stuff, but if you wanna see us get wrecked and have some fun and do some weird challenges, that's the one you gotta go to.
Absolutely. Check it out. It's definitely something, like I said, the sheer joy in his face just talking about it. So I know it's going to be amazing and going to be fun to watch. So give him some support. Go check out his channel. It's YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you normally plug your Instagram too? Or?
Oh, my Instagram's KW Films. So, okay. I mean, they can go on there and follow me if they want. Like, I post skateboarding, snowboarding, family stuff, friend stuff. Like, I just, my KW Films is more everything I do. Okay. Where, Like, I have other Instagrams, you know, I'm not going to plug everything, so I'm just going to plug...
Now, the focus is more on your YouTube channel, KW Snow. Okay, so definitely go subscribe to that page, give the videos a like, ring that bell, or we're going to do it again.
Ring the bell.
while you're on YouTube still, there's just three simple stops. You got to go to TRG Network, go to KW Snow, and then slide on over there into High Society Productions. I've been saying it since day one. Mm-hmm. I am still backing away from it. I'm not putting out content, but there's a lot of content backlog on there. So please go check it out. Subscribe. Once I start to see the subscribers are wanting something, then maybe I'll get back in there. No, I'm working on it. And then obviously connected to the High Society Productions is all the other things, like the Two Brothers and the View channel that I don't have up because we forgot to record. I'll get it. Don't worry. And then, of course, our High Society Productions gameplay channel, which... We gotta talk. We gotta get you streaming so we can have counter stream there. But we play Sea of Thieves. Oh man, I got a story to tell you after we get off of here about Sea of Thieves, Kyle.
Yeah.
But
Well, you stream directly on YouTube.
Yes.
So when I start
supposed to be Saturdays and Mondays, but this is another Saturday mess. It's alright.
When I start streaming, I'm going to stream directly to Twitch and then edit the video and post it. So that could be something where it goes to High Society Gaming, you know, like where we can, so I can, if I can somehow get a screen grab from yours, I can maybe edit it from two different points of view. Like, absolutely. You know, I think it'd be fun. I think it's going to be real interesting. There's a lot coming in the future. Like I said, you might have thought I was joking about merch, but I think, you know, with getting past 100 and getting more communication, like, would you wear some shirts? Would you like to see us post pictures of different shirts and things? Like, you know, maybe that's something that's coming up in the future as well. I know that we have already talked about some shirts just for us, so.
Yep, we got that Trope There It Is shirt. Got a Two Brothers hoodie.
Yep.
So there's plenty of merch that can be made and we can make available to our listeners if they are down.
Can and will.
Let us know. Yep. Where would we get that merch, though? I don't know what we have to find someone outsource that.
I think you might know someone.
Oh, I do. My wife, Rich Lily Designs. Look at that feed and plug right there.
Killing it.
Check out my wife's company, Rich Lily Designs. Right now it's on Facebook. So if you have Facebook, find it. If not, reach out to me and I'll link you up with her. But she is doing it all right now. Mm-hmm. Shirts, mugs, tumblers.
Everything.
Banners, mantles. Yeah, she's putting in the work more than... I can say I even am, so.
I believe she gave us a little tidbit and said that she went ahead and got us a banner.
That was news to me. She broke that news to me.
Yeah, that was awesome. When she said it, so we're going to have to post a picture with the new banner as soon as we get it. It's going to be fun. I'm excited for this season. We're going to talk off air and let you guys know next week our top 10. So make sure next Monday you tune in at noon and... Thank you guys so much for being there for us.
Yes,
so.
The continued support and listening is great. Normally, we would tell you what next week's episode is, but we want you to go check out our Instagram. We'll have it up before the
week is over.
Yeah, before the week is over. We'll have what the next episode will be. It will be the top 10 for the month, and we'll take three movies from that top 10, and that's what we will review.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have time to send in some suggestions if there's a top 10 you want us to do.
Yeah, we're doing our top 10 and picking three movies from that, but we are going to do new releases. Like, you know, that's...
The bonus, yes, sir.
Those are the bonus episodes. They get two this past month?
For October they got two. They got Halloween Kills and then Antlers.
Yeah.
Not saying they're going to get two every month, but they might.
There might be some you get one, there might be some you get two, you might even get three some months. Ooh, so
wee.
Threesome. Sorry, I had to say that again. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. That's all that I have for him. You got anything else for him?
That's all that I got.
Thank you guys so much. I'm Kyle Webb.
I'm his brother Nathan Webb.
And you just listened to season 2
of our podcast, Two Brothers in a Review.
Thank you guys so much.
I really feel like we need to pre-record the end of that like we do the beginning.
No, they'll love us.